that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and called those things which he not, as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall I be thee. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, even yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now to him that was not written for his sake alone, that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses, and was raised for our justification.
I'm going to ask you to bear with me a little bit as the wind blows and some things are going to be a little bit distracting. But there's something here that I've always been fascinated about, because there's a long time I used to study God's Word. I used to study the Scriptures, and I couldn't see this. And I understand why now. An unsaved carnal man cannot understand the things that are spiritual. And I was not saved. I was not a spiritual individual. So I used to read this and blow by it very quickly. But here lays something that God revealed to us about an individual named Abraham. Abraham was an individual that God used. The Bible refers to him over here in this particular passage of Scripture, verse 16. It says that he is the father of us all. And he's making a reference to the faith that Abraham exhibited. Now, when we look at individuals in time past, well, I mean, not so much in time past, in the Scriptures, you see individuals of faith, and they've done great, mighty things, and you look at them, and you're like, boy, I wish I could be like him. That was great. He really exemplified a great deal of faith. He really obeyed God and did these things for God's glory and different things like that. But it's something here that God is boasting about that I don't think a lot of people recognize. And I want to bring it to our attention because it should edify us and strengthen us and encourage us to know how God and what God thinks about us in spite of ourselves. And when you look at this passage of Scripture, God is showing us something that was not revealed ever before in Scripture. He's revealing it for the first time through the pen of the Apostle Paul. And what we're going to do, we're going to take a look back at when it actually initiated, when the actual occurrence manifested itself, and we're going to compare it to what God is saying over here in Romans, the 4th chapter. Because as I looked at it, even in time past and even in now, it didn't seem like it matched up to what God is bragging about Abraham. When I looked at what Abraham actually was doing and compared it to what God was saying, it didn't seem as though it matched up. And then all of a sudden, one day, some years back, everything just clicked, and it just made me glorifying God that much more. And I want to make sure that you have that same rejoice in you for what God has done on our behalf based upon this, what he leaves on record about Abraham here. But let's take a look at this text, and we can extract some things out of it over here in Romans, the 4th chapter. Look what it says here. In Romans, the 4th chapter, we just read 16, and verse 17 says, the promise that God gave to Abraham says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before whom he had believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things that be not as though they were. So this is what God done on behalf of Abraham. This is what he did for Abraham. But then God begins to make a boast. Verse 18. He's talking about Abraham. Look what he says here. He said, who against hope, this is Paul writing, but he's getting this from God talking about Abraham. Look what he said. who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in the faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He said he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith and giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform.
Now you see how I read that off strong and a little extra effort in there right there?
Because you see what God is making a reference and making a boast about Abraham seems to be something dynamic. I'm like, well, I need to go back there and find out what did Abraham do? Because if God is bragging about Abraham like that, I'm going to try to match up with what Abraham did because God is really boasting. I've never seen God boast so much about an individual like this. He's talking about, he thinks this is God giving the information to Paul to write down. Nobody knew what Abraham actually did until it was revealed in due time to the Apostle Paul to give to us as a revelation. And oftentimes, if I ask an individual, I say, well, what did Abraham do? What did Abraham do back there that really made God so excited and so boastful about what he actually did? Let's look at this text. Let's look back there. We have to actually go back to Genesis. We actually have to go back to Genesis. In Genesis 15, this is where the occurrence actually takes place. This is where it actually takes place. Look at Genesis, the 15th chapter. I want to find out what Abraham did. Because Abraham, God made him the father of us all. He's the father of Abraham for the circumcision and the uncircumcision, for the Jew and the Gentile. God seen something in Abraham. Look at what it says here. Genesis, the 15th chapter. I'm going to start at the first verse. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? I want you to take a look at Abraham's attitude right there, just off the bat. God tells him that I'm your shield, I'm your protection, don't fear, and I'm your exceeding great reward. I'm about to give you something to reward you. I'm about to give you something. So the next response to Abraham says, like, what you going to give me? And Abraham begins to look at the situation. He says, Abraham says, Lord, what would thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abraham said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, the one born in my house is mine heir. So in other words, at this point in his life, Abraham is about 86 years old. He doesn't have any children. It is just like it is today. If you don't have any kids by the time you're 86, you figure you ain't having no kids. Because biologically, it's just not something that was going on even today. So we can make this. There wasn't nothing special about their bodies back then. It's the same situation as it pertains to in this particular case. And he's talking to God. He's like, come on. I mean, okay, I hear what you're saying, but this is my situation. I'm laying this out on the table for you, what my particular situation is. He says in verse 3, and Abraham said, behold, thou hast given me no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. So in other words, his servant is the heir of all of his stuff, but he don't have any seed to give it to. Verse 4 says, and behold, the word of the Lord came. And now this is always important. I always want you to always pay attention when the Bible makes reference to things like the word of the Lord coming. Because as few powers as they seem, when the word of the Lord is coming, something big is about to happen. On somebody's behalf. Because what's so significant about the word of God?
That's where faith comes by hearing.
What is it?
That's where faith comes.
Faith comes from? Faith comes. See, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So in other words, for you to please God, God has to first give you a word. So when you hear a word from God come now, okay, you're setting me up so that I can be in right standing with you. You're setting me up so I can exercise faith, or faith can be produced in this particular situation. So it's always exciting when the word of the Lord comes. He says, when the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. Oh, wait a minute. Abram is 86 years old, and God has given him a promise of something, him having a child out of his own bowels. That means that it's going to actually be his child coming from him, not adopted, not his servant's child, but his child. And he brought him, he took Abram out, and he brought him abroad and said, look toward the heaven. So I imagine it's a night time. He says, look toward the heaven and tell the stars, because the stars are being exhibited. He says, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. This is what God declared unto Abraham, right there, right? So now, look at this big passage right here between verses 5 and 6. Something magnificent happened. Look what he says here. And he brought him forth and abroad and said, look now toward the heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. He said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And verse 6 says, and he believed in the Lord and he counted it to him for what? Now let's read verse 7. He says, and he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of the Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to what? And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall do what? So now, God just made a big deal with Abraham, right? And the next words that came out of Abraham's mouth after God made a big deal with him was what?
How shall I know?
I want you to see something here. Something took place that was so magnificent. And God is making a report about something that was unsaid, unperformed, and undone. I want to show you something here. When we leave today, you should be so excited about what God does to an individual and how God looks at an individual once they believe this gospel, that you should be looking for somebody to spread this good news to. Because God is showing us something that He is doing. We talk about this, and we say it so loose, we talk about the operation of God. Do you realize that this is all of Him and basically none of us? I want to show you something. Turn, before I even show you that, I want you to turn back. Turn back to Romans 4. I want you to see something. I'm not teaching the full message today, so I have to kind of hurry up. But look at Romans 4. Look what it says in verse 19. Romans 4, 19. Look what it says here. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet what? Does that sound like what Abraham did? The Word of God says that he didn't consider even the deadness of Abraham a Sarah's womb, right? I want to show you something here. It's something that is really, really phenomenal about what God has revealed to us in the Scriptures. He says this. He says that Abraham's faith was so strong he didn't consider his own body. He didn't even consider his wife that was almost 100 years old, too. We're about to have this baby. Let's turn over to Genesis 17. Look at verse 15. We'll start at verse 15. So I'm going to ask you a question after this. We'll start at verse 15, Genesis 17. And God said unto Abraham, as Sarah thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name, shall her name be rather. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations, kings of people shall be of her. Look what he says, verse 17. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and Sarah that is what?
9 years old.
Let me ask you a question. Does it appear to you right there that Abraham is not considering his age or his wife's age?
He is.
This is something you just absolutely have to understand. Because it all goes in line with rightly dividing the word of truth. You have to understand what God's done here. When you look at this passage of Scripture, you see that, wait, I'm over here saying that God didn't consider, that Abraham didn't consider Sarah's womb, nor his own womb, or his own that he was going to have the child. But over here, the Bible is saying that he didn't consider it. And not only that, if you know the narrative of the story, after God told him that, after a period of time, nothing was happening, Abraham and Sarah concocted their own scheme to have a child born out of from his womb. What happened? Sarah said, look, this ain't working. You know what I want you to do? You're going to take my maid servant Hagar, go unto her and have a baby, because let's do it this way. And let's have a baby this way. And then once Hagar gets pregnant, God says, no, I didn't say that's what we were going to do. I said, you just like we just read 13, I said that you and Sarah were going to have a child. And then after God reiterates that with him, in his heart, and see, this is what I love about the Word of God. The Word of God is revealing what Abraham's heart was. Abraham didn't say this out loud. You understand? Abraham didn't laugh at God in his face and say, man, you kidding me? How me and my wife? Come on, man. I'm 100 and she 90 years old. How are we going to have a child? He didn't say that. Bible says he said it in his heart. So the Word of God is letting us know the heart of what was going on. This was unwritten, unspoken, unperformed stuff that God is just letting us know about. Well, what is God talking about over here in Romans 4 when he's talking about how strong of faith Abraham was? What is he making the reference to? This is what I want you to know. Turn back to Genesis. Turn to Genesis 15, right where we were at. Something magnificent happens between Genesis 15, verse 5, and verse 6. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And you know what happened right then? For a moment, Abraham believed him. Now we see that Abraham, and later on, got kind of puzzled and kind of didn't believe anymore. But you know what God counted? That one moment that he believed in. Look what God is doing for us. God is taking that one speck of time, that one fraction of a moment that you decide to place your faith, your trust in what he said he was going to do, and he acted like this. He doesn't let you go any further to mess it up. He counts it right then, and then he makes a boast about what you did when you actually haven't done anything. Between those two verses, the next response that came out of Abraham's mouth didn't even have anything to do with being the heir. He said, well, you going to give me this land in here? He didn't even make a big deal about it. Look how insignificant that was. Look how insignificant it seemed to be. Look what he says here. Mm-hmm. It didn't even seem to be a big deal. God told him, he says, and he brought him forth abroad, look now toward the heaven, tell the stars that thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And look what happens again. Guess who has to tell us what happened? The Holy Spirit had to reveal by the Word of God what happened, because Abraham didn't say anything. There was no great narrative that Abraham stood up and was like, oh God, I believe you. You're the God of the heavens and the earth and the universe. Right. You're almighty, all powerful, and I believe that you can do what you say. He didn't say anything. The Bible revealed to us that the moment that Abraham believed, God looked down at Abraham's heart and counted it as righteousness, and nothing even came out of Abraham's mouth.
Right.
Come on now, you have to see what I'm saying here. God was willing to make Abraham righteous for an example of something that he was going to do thousands of years later. And when individuals don't believe that somebody can be saved by simply trusting the fact that Christ died for their sins, according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose on the third day, they don't have to confess, they don't have to be water baptized, they don't have to speak in tongues, they don't have to do baptism. All they have to do for one moment, fraction of a second in their life, in their heart and in their mind, is to believe that God is going to do what he said he was going to do.
Wow.
And just like God is bold and making a big brag about what Abraham did, he's bold in faith, didn't stagger at the truth, God is making that same boast about you. The moment you trust that Christ died for your sins, was buried and rose on the third day.
Mm-hmm.
Because all of this is the operation of God. God is the one that sees it through. All you have to do is believe it. The moment you believe it, God does everything else. Let's look back at the boast a little bit, because maybe that'll cheer us up just a little bit as it pertains to what God manifested on the behalf of Abraham. And I want to show how he links it in with us. Look what he does here.
Mm-hmm.
That one little fraction of a moment, look what God says about it. Who against hope believed in hope that he might be the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, doing what? God wrote this narrative about Abraham. God said this. Abraham didn't boast on himself. God wrote this narrative about Abraham based on Abraham simply believing God. And another thing I want you to know and recognize, you have to separate and understand the difference between the example that God uses with Abraham as he justifies the uncircumcision through faith versus how he justifies the circumcision, the Jew, by faith. Because he shows a totally different justification process that he utilized with Abraham. And some of you are familiar with that. With that particular justification, Abraham had to offer his son Isaac.
Right.
I don't want you to get mixed up to think that you have to do that. That's not the justification that God utilizes with us. God utilizes that just one split moment of belief, and that's how we identify with Abraham as our father.
Right.
Because God looked at Abraham's belief and counted it as righteousness. Now let me read this out here. Verse 21, and being fully persuaded that he had promised he was able to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now look what it says. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed. Look what it says. If we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who delivered for our offenses and did what?
Was raised again for our justification.
Raised again for our justification. People might think that that's not enough, right? But what happens the moment you trust in the fact that Christ died for your sins according to scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose on the third day, the moment you do that, God justifies you. The Bible says that he made Abraham righteous. Righteousness is justification, how God makes you right in his sight. So now, how do we tie that into eternal security? Because what this means is that once saved, always saved. And this is something that people have a big problem with. Turn over to Romans 8. Turn over to Romans 8. And I'm going to clear the way out for Pastor Scott to come. But look what it says over here in Romans 8.
Mm-hmm.
Romans 8, chapter verse 30. Look what it says here. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also did what?
Justified.
Was Abraham justified or made righteous when he believed God?
Yes.
Is an individual justified when they believe God today that he died for that Christ died for our sins according to scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose on the third day?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Look what justification offers you today. See, in time past, justification was tied into their sanctification. As long as they did the right thing, they would be in right standing with God. And if they endured to the end, then they would receive glory.
Right.
That's not how God does it today. Just like he looked at Abraham and counted him as righteous and gave him the reward, this is what God does for us today as well. It says that, moreover, whom he did predestinate, he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. There is absolutely nothing getting in your way to eternal life and eternal glory the moment you trust in the fact that Christ died for your sins according to Scripture, that he was buried, that he rose on the third day. You may even have the same instances that Abraham had and not believe in God and causing yourself and getting discouraged because life throws at us so many different curveballs. And sometimes we say, what's the use? But what you need to know, you're going to make it to the finish line. God already has given you the victory in Christ Jesus. And there is nothing that is going to cause you to be separated from God's love, and you are going to receive the glorification at the end of everything that God has accomplished. The Bible lets us know that an individual can believe this gospel one day by simply maybe listening on Facebook or talking to somebody at a garage sale, and they might hear the gospel, and for that one split moment, they might believe it, right? But then the circumstances of the world kick in, and in time past, you remember that seed will be dropped in the soil, and then the cares of the world will come, and it would take the seed away, and it wouldn't take root. Well, that's not how God operates today. The moment that person believes today, God takes his faith out of the way and replaces it with the faith of Christ. And the faith of Christ endures eternally. Now, look what happens. The Bible lets us know, and I'm paraphrasing this for time's sake. The Bible says, if you get to that point in your life where you believe not, if you get to that point in your life when you believe not because of life circumstances or whatever is going on in your life, the Bible says he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. So we thank God for what he's accomplished for us through Jesus Christ. And I want us all to be encouraged, letting us know that we always have something to be joyous about.
Right.
See, we might not always be happy. Because the happiness is based upon the happening. What's happening? Now, I was talking about how an individual might win $1,000 or $1 million in the lottery. Boy, you can see the way people cut up when they win some money. Oh, yes! Woo! Yes! Yes! Ah! Ah! I mean, things you would never imagine coming out of them. Did they just do that?
Right.
But you can tell somebody they have eternal life through Jesus Christ. They said they're just a cool, common, collective. Did you see what Abraham did?
Good point.
Abraham went to the next subject.
Good point.
You see what it is? Abraham just went to the next. Oh, okay, I'm going to inherit the land. He didn't even consider the magnificence of what God had just expressed to him. And I find that today. Today, people don't really consider what you just acquired or what you've had for maybe some time. And why you need to know it and why you need to stand on it? Because when you understand you have the victory in Christ that lasts for eternity, your financial problems become small, your marital problems become small, your problem with your children become small, your health problems become small, because greater is he that is within you than he that is within the world. God has given you the victory in Christ, and you always have something to be joyous about. On your worst day,
say that.
Mm-hmm. On your worst day, you can give God praise. And when you do that, people see it. How can you, just like Brother was saying, how can you have this joy about you going through the circumstance you're going through? Because I got the victory.
That's
nothing that this world can throw at me.
That's why.
Can overcome the victory I have in Christ.
That's why.
Any comments or questions?
That's why. You can see how we were talking about hope and that stuff incorporated in the message right now.
Amen.
That's the whole idea. Hope is not something we conjure up. It's something that comes from God.
Amen. Amen. You can't fake this. This is something that is already established in God, and when you really are a partaker of it, it is what gives you that peace that passes all understanding. People don't understand why you got peace in the midst of your circumstances. But when you really got it, know you got it, you can rejoice in spite of what's going on in your life. I'm going to close the prayer. We're going to have probably about a 5 minute.
How much break?
Five minute break and then pass.